Again, I am Pastor Jeff, and we're so glad you're here today. If you're visiting, hello, and welcome to our service. As Bob already mentioned, the kids are in the back, and they'll from here on out, they'll be in the back the whole service. So it will be a little quiet, so if you need to get up and move around or do whatever you want to do, you can do that, I guess, within reason. And, you know, and so do what you need to do. Couple things. Let's see. Bob will bring his comedy routine back next two Sundays. He's going to preach for me. One Sunday we're going to be on vacation. The next Sunday we're going to be down at Vincent's at our kids' church. And so we'll be there both those weeks, but then I'll be back from then after that. So just alerting you that, but Bob is, he always brings a funny thought to things he does. And so thank you, Bob, for always bringing the levity. Let's see, I wanted to have a couple reflections about yesterday real quick, and I don't want to miss those. I want to thank all of you that were involved. If I miss you, I know, don't, I'm just throwing it out there. If you helped, thank you, thank you, thank you so much. It was a blessing, and here's a couple just highlights. And again, if I don't mention you, it's not that you weren't a highlight. It's just that there's things that stuck in my head. Marion did a lot of our artwork for different boards and different things, and so I want to thank her for that. She spent a lot of time. It took me about 100 hours to put that together, the last, just for, you know, a four-hour thing. It takes about 100 hours to pull that together. You say, well, what'd you do? Well, just trust me, it takes a lot to put it all together. I think about yesterday, about so many people who just stepped in and said, well, what do you need? What can I do? I heard from several people yesterday as I was walking around, just meeting people and trying to encourage people and just to reach out to people because, and I said, well, what brought you today? And I got so many answers and so many things. And they just said, we're just so glad that a church is doing something like this. And thank you for doing this, because oftentimes we go places and it's just, you know, it's not a family-friendly atmosphere sometimes. And so thank you for doing that. And so we heard that, heard so many things about the hub being open and about people who got some help and food and free hot dogs. And a lot of our people questioned me about, well, why'd you have free hot dogs and you had a hillbilly hot dog right across the thing? That didn't make sense. And I can't tell you how many people said we didn't have money and we showed up here tonight and we were so glad that we had hot dogs and chips and they did the things that they did. That's who we are. That's what we are. Even though that, you know, a lot of you paid $9 or $10 for a hot dog, there was hot dogs right across the street, right across it was free, and I think there was a couple hundred of them that got sent out. So thank you for being a part of that. I think about last night as the fireworks were going off and going home and looking at Franklin City Chat. I love that thread. It's just such a wonderful thing. And we got called everything but a black dog. I mean, it was, you know, you hurt our dogs, our dogs, our dogs, our dogs, you know. And we told, we put it on Franklin City Chat, we said, well, we're going to have fireworks, you know. I don't know, it's a hard thing. And then some people said some really nice things. I think about last night as I was pulling out about 10:30, Michael Zellers, and he took a whole bunch of his friends, and they loaded out all that equipment. There was tons of equipment. They had their stuff out there, and he just got a bunch of people. Don't even go to our church, and they went up there and they loaded out stuff. And I'm thinking, man, what a blessing that was. And then the Yancey's fireworks and all those things. And just, and it's all with the idea of saying that about 250 plus people showed up at our grounds, and 250 people never show up at our church, and that maybe do or don't go to church and go to some other church. And then seeing all the things that we saw last night, a couple people came up and gave me $100 for the hub, two people, and then one of the vendor booths came up and gave me $140 for the hub, said, I love what you're doing, here's $140. Thank you, what a blessing. And to see the fishing, all the fishing things, it was just really, really cool. And I don't mind spending time thanking you for that, because it takes a lot of time. The people that went and got the money for this, the people that served, man, thank you, thank you, thank you. What a blessing, okay? All right, I'll shut up. Let's pray. Jesus, it is good to be here today and to come and to lift up your name. And I thank you that Dave plays the hymns, even though he doesn't like to do it. He does that. And I just thank you for that. And I thank you that he plays the other songs that he plays, and for all of our groups that play. I just thank you as they try to come and to be a vessel by which to be an open vessel to you, so we can lift our praise and our worship to you. I pray for our kids back there today that are worshiping. I pray, God, that they will get a sense of who you are, and know that as they worship, that you are an incredible God, and you are worthy of their worship. I pray for these next few minutes that you'll help me to say the things I need to say, and to shut my mouth where I need to shut my mouth. I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're in a series called One Another, Becoming a One Another Church. And the last week, I'm going to tell you, it was one of the harder topics beside forgiveness that I ever talk about, because it was admonish one another, basically come along and correct each other. And a lot of you looked at me like deer in headlights. You were going, ain't no way I'm doing that. Well, I'm doing a follow-up with it today, and you're not going to like this either. So I'm just going to go right into it. It's called basically to spur one another on. And we're in the one another sphere of things. This is another one that's a lot like admonish, but it's got a different flair to it. It's got a different feeling to it. And I want you to understand why we're going through these one another's. We're going through these one another's because I believe as the time draws near for God to come back, and I think the time is getting closer and closer, that it's important that you and I understand that the church is the vessel by which God is going to be strong in the end times. It's the people group that he's going to say, look at us as we follow Christ. And if we are not together, if we are not in sync, if we are at odds with each other, if we are not spiritually strong, when it comes to the time where it really gets hard, you say, well, it's hard now. No, you ain't seen nothing yet. You ain't seen nothing. And so when it gets really hard, we're going to have some of what of our act together. Because our act isn't together, folks. It's not together. We don't want to admonish one another. We don't want to come alongside and teach other people. Because when we do that, we get snapped at. Ask some of our people that were sitting at the bounce house last night that were just trying to keep order. Ask them. And they were trying to tell kids not to kill each other. And they got... You know, it's tough. It is tough. And that's not Christian to Christian. That's Christians and non-Christians just saying act civil, you know, act decent. And so we come to this moment in time today, and we talk about spurring one another on. What in the world does that mean? And so let's get into that. So as a church family and as a church, and in the time and moment that which we find ourselves here today, I believe we find ourselves in a time where the community, our community and the church as a whole, lacks some things. And one of the things we lack in is a community, is this idea of spurring one another on. And I want to explain what that means. And I think the solution to accountability, which we hate that word, we hate somebody holding us accountable. We say something, and then somebody says, didn't you say that? You done that with your kids? You ever done that with your kids? Well, you promised. No, I didn't. Yes, you did. And it's that accountability thing. We don't like it. We hate accountability. And so, but the Bible gives Christians, us, to each other, the ability to have accountability with each other, to come along each other and to help each other move them towards the direction of being more Jesus-like. Hebrews says this, or we're going to all be in Hebrews. You got your Bible, you can do that, or you can follow along with us here or on Facebook. Here it is, Hebrews 10, 24. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Comes right out of Hebrews, the book about taking and Jesus. If I had to say that there was a theme in Hebrews, it's this, that Jesus is better. Jesus is better. He's better than anything. And so as Christians, we want to spur each other to be better like Jesus. That's our goal. That is who we are. And life throws horrible things at us. And we have an opportunity to respond to those horrible things. And some of us, we blow up. Some of us, we get mad. Some of us just stop. Some of us quit. Some of us throw things. I don't know what you do. But we have the opportunity to be more like Christ, to be better. And so Hebrews 10:24 admonishes us, challenges us to spur each other on. So one word we got to define this morning before we move too much further is this. It's that word spur. And it's going to drive us this morning. So I want you to shout out right now, just a second, an English word for spur, what comes to mind. When I say that word spur, what comes to mind? Just shout it out real quick. Yeah, what? One at a time. What? Encourage, okay. Kick, yeah, okay. Anybody think about cowboy? You know, what cowboy? What do they have on their boots? You ever seen one of those? They are not instruments of comfort. That is not an instrument of comfort. A spur is not. When you get spurred, ouch. It is meant to change direction. It's meant to take and move you somewhere that you're not going. Ow, dig in. It goes like this. It is not a comfortable thing. For a cowboy or rancher, it is not an accessory. It is a necessity. And for Christians, the Bible, Hebrews is saying, it's a necessity to spur one another on. The word spur, it's an idea of pressing. I think I put this in there. Spur I didn't put it, but just hold that there. You're doing great. It's not you, it's me. So the spur is a very important word to get. And so let me try to see if I can find where I put. It's the idea of pressing in closely and kind of provoking or irritating in order to bring about change, to move something in a direction that it needs to go, okay? Now, take that and put that in the context of us, you and me, with each other, that we are trying to spur one another on to move somebody, to irritate somebody a little bit. Now, does that sound fun? It doesn't sound fun at all, does it, to irritate somebody, to go in a different direction, to go in a better direction, to be like Jesus. That's the whole idea. Now, let's do what I did. The next thing is, if we put that word spur, it's irritating in order to bring about change or to move something forward, then let's reread that verse again, that 10:24. Let's irritate one another. Nope, sorry. I you took me literal. I'm sorry. Let's irritate one another onto love and good deeds. That's our job. Let's irritate each other. Oh my gosh, thanks, Jeff. Let's do that. Do you see how this is so hard? It's hard. Who wants to irritate? I just want peace. I just want to keep. I don't want to say anything that I shouldn't say because I say things the way I shouldn't say them anyway, and I step in it all the time, right? Don't you? Yeah. So Jeff, you're telling me to irritate my brother if they are drinking poison. You better irritate them. If they're drinking poison, you got to irritate some people. Jesus, through Hebrews, has given us an invitation, an open invitation to not just admonish, not just to teach, but to spur, to move our brothers and our sisters in a different direction. You're not going where you're supposed to go. Are your thoughts, are your actions helping this person that I'm connected with to be more like Jesus? Is there people in your sphere that you're helping to be more like Jesus? Now, it's fine to give them food. It is fine to give them clothes. We should be doing that. But we should also be coming alongside people who are doing the same thing over and over and over and over again and expecting a different result. We should spur them on to something else. gently, lovingly, and to come next to them. This last week, 2 weeks ago, I had a friend that I was sitting talking to. We were talking about being in a little bit better shape. I was talking about my desire was to be in better shape and to do more things like that. And you know what that friend did? That friend said, let's start walking. Let's go walking. And let's meet this certain date, this certain time. And it just hit me so well. It overwhelmed me. It made me feel valuable. It made me feel loved. It made me just go, this person really cares about me, that they're going to take their time and they're going to spur me on. They're going to challenge me to do some things with them, to go with them as they go on that journey. That's kind of what we're talking about here today, folks. That's what we're talking about, to come alongside of and to say, I'll go with you. I'll walk with you. It's not, I'm going to beat you up because you're stupid and you're putting too much stuff in your mouth. Stop it. Does that ever do any good to anybody? No. Somebody that's having a struggle with any addiction, does it ever do good to say stop it and just quit? Heck no. Heck no. But as we walk, we come along them and we walk with them, we spur them on in love. It's a little irritating because you're going, well, you're going to make me walk? I mean, it goes in your mind. So you're going to make sure I do it, right? Yes, because I love you. And I want better for you. And I want you to be more like Jesus. Not because you're a fat slob. Not because you're stupid. But because you and I can do this together. Spurring looks like this willingness to wade into messy areas in people's lives. Where there's two people possibly that are Christians that are shacking up together. That are staying and having sex before they're married. There needs to be a conversation. There needs to be a conversation, a loving spur that comes along and says, sister, brother, what's going on? Well, I don't know if I could do that. I'm just telling you, folks, I'm just telling you that it's a little like drinking poison because they're not, if you want God to honor your life and the relationship you have, you want to be more like Christ. And the more you're like Christ, the more you emulate him, the more that others look at you and go, I want to be like them too. I want to be like them too. So what does it look? What's it look like to spur other people on to great things, to be better, to be better? If you've read the letter to the Hebrews, you're going to see time and time again that it's always calling people, telling people, Jesus has got a better way. Jesus has not only got the better way, he is the better way. So let's follow him. So let's look at Hebrews. I think we're going to go to, Hebrews 10:19. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God. Now, I want you to look at that. It's kind of a choppy sense of things if you read that. The early readers in Hebrews, when they first read this, it came hot off the press. They would have looked at that, and they would have been abhorred. They would have been like, what in the world? That is blasphemy. Because these were people who the only people that were in the presence of God were priests. And these priests did all these incredible things to get ready to go into the presence of God. And sometimes when they would go into the presence of God, it was so great that they would die. And they would tie a rope around their ankle. And so they could pull them out because nobody else wanted to go in and get them. So to go into the presence of God, and you say, you can go into the presence of God. What? See, these people had no idea, no concept. This was kind of blasphemy. So you have to understand that to go into the presence of God back then was like, oh, and you and I, we take it for granted. We take it for granted going into the presence of God. We just flippantly do whatever we want to do. Some of you, you know, you may start praying and then you go off track somewhere and And here you are, you've dialed up God, and you're talking to God, and all of a sudden you're talking to something trash or something bad or looking at something on your phone. Or we take it for granted going into the presence of God. But we as Christians, we can go straight to God. We don't need a priest. We don't need anybody because of what Jesus did. We don't need that. Stop taking it for granted. And so the author of Hebrews is saying this, that Jesus is the doorway. He opened up this step to intimacy with God. You can go talk with God. I don't know who it is you would really like to talk with. Maybe most of you would be Taylor Swift, a lot of you girls. You know, I want to go see Taylor Swift, and I want to hear what she has to say, which I don't know why. But anyway, you want to go, whoever your person is, understand the God of the universe, you can go directly to and talk to him. And tell him everything on your heart. There's this intimacy that has nothing, that has it all over the intimacy between a husband and wife. Even though that intimacy, that whole thing between being a husband and wife is probably the most intimate thing that a husband, that's out there. It's more intimate than that. And so I want you to understand that we have a freedom, an intimacy to go to the one who created all of this that we see and to speak to him. So there's three invitations I want to share with you today that I find in the book of Hebrews that I want you to really think about. And again, I understand some of you are just checking out already. You've already gone like, how much longer is he going to go? And is it just about done? But I really want you to listen. And I really want you to dial in for a second. The first invitation is going to, I think it's on the screen, hopefully I put it there, is the invitation to spur one another towards intimacy with God. Verse 22 in Hebrews says this. There's two words that I want to pull out of there and look at. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with full assurance that faith brings having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Okay? Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and a full assurance that faith brings, that our hearts are sprinkled and cleansed. We can go straight to him. We don't need a priest. We don't need to sacrifice. We just go to him. Whatever shape you find yourself, bleeding, a mess, drug addicted, addicted to whatever it is you're addicted to, you can go straight to him. We have that intimacy there. It's there. It is a healthy fear in the Old Testament of God, of approaching God. We need a little bit more of that today in us. I love that about the Catholic tradition, that it's so, it's proper, and it's going in close, and it's being reverent, and we just take it so flippant in the non-denominational churches today. We take it so for granted that we're just able to go right barreling in and just sit down with the God of the universe and talk to him and bare our hearts and bare our souls. And so we can have an intimacy with God, and we go to him with not our hearts walled off, not our hearts blocked off. But many of you, the reason why you don't go into an intimate relationship with God, other than thank you God for this food, it's good, amen, is because you have an improper understanding of who God is, of who God really is. And see, our experiences have caused us to look at God like some of us looked at our dads. And our dads were imperfect people, some of them. Well, they all were imperfect, but some of them were really harsh. And so when you say God is a father, you look at God and you go, I don't know. Like he's this cold-hearted judge, or he's totally disengaged from the world, or he's this impersonal force that just sits someplace and watches me and waits for me to mess up. And see, our experiences have caused us to have this idea that God is this far-off God, and so we don't naturally approach him. So we stay off, and we miss the presence of God. When you miss the presence of God, you miss a lot. That's why some of you, come in, and when the band is worshiping, some of you get some strong feelings. You get some really strong feelings because it is a bunch of people saying these words to God, and hopefully they're more than words. They come from the heart. And when they come from the heart, all these people, the Bible says that God gathers and he is there and he comes. He says more than two or three, I am there. I come and I want to know what you're going through. I want to know the pain that you have. I want to know the strife and the struggles you're going on. And so it's important. And so I want you to understand that the identity of God is who Jesus tells us God is. God is not this person that's out there with a thumb trying to hold you down, hold you back. God is a God that wants all. He wants, the Bible says he wants much for you. And the only thing that's holding you back, some of you, is you don't want to be intimate with God. Because you know if you're intimate with God, you somehow think that he's going to know your heart, which he already does, and somehow he's going to ask you to change. And he will, but not until it's in his timing. But you don't understand it. You don't understand, well, that means I have to give this up. That means I have to give up. No, it doesn't mean that at all. It means that God will show you what it is and when, and he will give you the ability to do it, not you. You don't got the ability to give it up. You do not have it at all. If you're here today and you're struggling with some addiction, whether it's things that come into your eyes or things that come into your ears or things you put in your body, you don't have the ability to stop it. But the Lord God does, because he's the one who made you and he deeply, 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 deeply loves you. You know, our brother Dave always says that all the time. And I hope you never get tired of hearing that. He is a good God all the time. Even when your life is crud, he is good all the time. Intimacy is such an important thing. And so I have a question I put up here, and then I'll move on. Are we spurring one another on to continually draw near to the heart of God? And this is where I want to throw this out today for something for you to think about during our ministry time today. Like my brother talked about my health and getting better, one of the things we can do is we can ask each other questions about how we're doing spiritually. And you're all right to do that. Hey, what are you reading in the Bible? When's the last time you talked about that to anybody? I've been asked that several times the last couple of weeks, and it really, really makes a difference in me. I go, boy, I want to tell them. I want to show what I've been reading. What have you been reading? Why? Well, because I'm really struggling in this area. What have you been praying for? My food, safety, my mom, my dad. I don't know. Really? That's really all you want to see? That intimacy. And we can spur one another. It doesn't have to be coming in and saying, hey, babe, you need to work out every day. It doesn't need to be that kind of thing. It needs to be this thing that comes along spiritually and talk about their spiritual health. And what can I pray for you about today? And then pray. Stop saying you're going to pray for people and then never pray. If you're doing it on Facebook and you get on all the people and say, well, I'm praying, you better pray. You better pray. If you tell somebody you're going to pray, you better pray. And it doesn't mean just a one-time deal. It means pray. Spur each other. How do you spur it? Well, you go to the one who's better, and you say to the one who's better, God, these people are struggling with this. Spur one another on to greater intimacy with God. Number two, a second invitation. These will be short. Invitation that we have to spur one to fix our eyes on eternity. It says this in verse 23, let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess, for he who promised is faithful. That word unswervingly. Just travel with me for just a second, okay? Just a second. We must walk together with our eyes fixed on heaven. If your eyes are not fixed on heaven, if they're fixed on the election, if they're fixed on what's going to happen after the election, if they're fixed on the housing market, if they're fixed on your bank account, you're in trouble, because it's going to go like this. And maybe like this. Probably like this. Your eyes have got to be fixed on heaven, and we spur each other. Keep your eyes on the prize. The prize is not here. It is not now. The word that sticks out there is that not besides draw near, that draw near was in the other verse, is this word unswervingly, because it's near and dear to my heart. So I ask you this question. How many of you here, you don't have to answer, but how many of you here are what I would call backseat drivers? Don't say it, okay? Like, you know who you are. You're riding in as a passenger in the car, and the other person is doing stuff, and you just want to just stop the car and get out and go to the other side and drive yourself, right? Because they're idiots, and they're just gonna swerve right into the. They're just going. Where in the world are they going? That word unswervingly is a big deal, and I think when we look at our lives, it's this concept of this that word unswervingly, because there's so many things that make us swerve. There's so many things vying for our attention. There's so many things trying to get us to say, look at me, look at me, look at me. And most of them aren't God. Most of them are the other guy. We look at things like financial success and status and power. Are we having the kind of sex or enough sex that we think we should be having in the right amount? You say, oh, what are you talking about that in church for? Because that's what a lot of us are struggling with, folks. For some of us, it's unrepentant sin. It's sin that's in our life. We know it's there, and we ain't doing a thing about it. Drinking poison. It's good. Good. It's taking our eyes off of eternity. It's causing us to swerve. Well, Jeff, you know, doesn't the Bible say take the log out of your own eye? And doesn't Jesus say don't judge? Yeah, he's saying don't be a hypocrite. Be careful. Be careful. Well, I can't say something about somebody. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. See, when we start to feel discomfort of the spur, you want people speaking some into your life. You want people to come along. Yeah, at first you don't, but then pretty much you go, oh, that kind of helped a little bit. That spurred me on in a direction. To stay silent, it gets nothing done. And so we continue on, and we do the same thing over and over again and expect something different is going to happen in our life. This time, this man is going to be the right guy for me. And we change nothing about our lives. And we get bozo number three in, and we don't do anything different. What does that do? Somebody has to come alongside and say, really? Really? People ask me all the time because I've married a lot of people. I don't remember the count, but it's a lot, several hundred, 300, 400. I forget what it is. I think Caitlin was the last. Was she 400? Really? I don't remember. Anyway, I've married a lot of couples. And a lot of couples will come in, and I always talk to them about their relationship with Jesus and their relationship with each other. And then I always ask them this question, do you think you really need to be married? And most of them always say yes. There's been 7 or 8 that said no. And I said, then maybe you should postpone this. We've got the caterer, we've got this. And of those 7 and 8, I can guarantee you every one of them got divorced within a year. Every one of them. Now, the ones that I thought were really incredible, did they get divorced? Yes, they did. It just wasn't that. But I'm telling you, if there's something going on and it's not right in that room at that moment, it ain't going to get any righter as you go on. Not if you're not doing something about it. Not if you're not allowing Jesus to be in the mix. It's important. It's important to speak truth into people's lives. We live in a world that is suspicious and it's hostile towards any kind of faith. I understand that. And any kind of fellowship of believers. So many people that I talked about last night were saying that they were disenfranchised. They were dissatisfied with their church. They started telling me, and I'm like, you know what? We're just as screwed up as that church. Just stay where you are. We are. You, we, We're a good bunch of people, but man, we're screwed up. We're screwed up just as everybody else. Now, I love this group of people, and I'm not saying that I'm going anywhere or anything like that, but I'm just saying to this, we all have problems. And so I'm saying, as we mitigate and navigate these problems, let's do it together, and let's keep it within the context of the family, and let's spur each other on to do the things that God has called us to do. Lastly, an invitation. This is a really good one and a short one, that we would spur one another to live a fruitful life. Hebrews 10:24 and Ephesians 2:10. Hebrews 10:24 says this: let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. That's what we started with. And then Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. You were created to do God's handiwork. You were not created to go to work all the time. You were not created to do that. You were created to do His handiwork. Can you do that in your work? Absolutely. But be understanding, as a church family and as a Jesus people and men and women, you were created. The reason, you say, well, what's my purpose? There is your purpose. You were created. That's why you were made. It can be said of all of us, and men and women, that we are put on this planet, and oftentimes we doubt why we're here, and we get gutted because the world just throws so much at us, and nobody comes alongside of us, and so we act like it's us against the world, and we're taking on all the things of the world. And so we try to do it on our own, and we bottle up, and we do these things, and we do this thing. And some of you, what you're doing now is not right either. Is you're holding yourself up in your house, and you're not going out. You're not talking to anybody else. You just stay in your house. You and your little clan, you're right here. You don't do anything with anybody else or for anybody else, and you just do your own thing. God is calling you today to get out of that shell. I'm spurring you. I want to spur you. I want to irritate you out of that comfort today and to tell you to get out there and do God's handiwork, the thing that He made you to do for somebody else. He didn't make you to do it for yourself. He made it for you to do for other people. We want to be a church. We want to be a community, a city set on a hill. Here we are in this little corner in Franklin, Indiana, trying to be the light of who Jesus called us to be. That's what we're trying to do, is become a one another church, a one another church that loves each other so much that we're willing to irritate each other a little bit, that we're willing to admonish each other a little bit, and then 2 weeks in order to forgive one another. And that's one of the hardest things that there is to forgive each other. Especially people who have hurt you, and they really have. I want to close with this thing as the band comes. Hebrews 10:25, one more time. Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Here we go. Not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Consider how we spur one another on. Today I want to spur you on. And one of the things where it starts, church, is to spur each other on with coming here, being here. You say, well, I don't need to go to church. Okay. But don't give up meeting together.
Sorry.
Don't give up meeting together and just doing everything online. Don't give up us not even doing any online and doing anything. You doing life by yourself does nobody any good. So I encourage you today, I want to spur you on to start noticing when people don't come into this place. When's the last time you texted somebody? That would be a spur. Hey, I missed you. It would also be a love. Or you say, well, I don't even know their name. Okay, well, that's a problem. Because we're family. We're supposed to be loving each other. Oh, okay. So today, our purpose and our plan and our progress is to do this. Let's spur each other on. Let me pray with you as the lights go out, and I want you to see what God will do in your heart. That maybe you'll take it on yourself to say, you know what? There's somebody I need to come alongside of, and I need to love on, and I need to irritate a little bit, and because of the course that they're going right now, they're drinking poison a little at a time. Well, they're not dying, but a little at a time, they're dying. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you for the invitations that you've given us in your book of Hebrews. These three invitations to be more intimate with you, for that we will spur each other on to do that, to read our Bibles more, to pray, God, to be able to keep our eyes on heaven, on what the prize is, and then, God, the invitation to love the way that Jesus does, to love the way he does. He has a better way. Let us follow it. Forgive us, Jesus. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste, glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born in his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, raising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, visions of rapture burst on my sight. Angels descend. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Praising my Savior all the day long. Praising my Savior.
This is an and part of my sermon. I forgot to say this. I want to say to you, if you're a parent, one of the places you can really want to spur somebody on is I challenge you to spur on with your children. I challenge you to go look at some of their browser histories, whatever device that they have, and do some digging and looking and seeing what they're doing. Because as they become teens and they become older, they're dealing with this problem that they got when they were 7, 6, 7, 8 years old, because they had a phone that they had access to so many sites. And if you want to spur somebody, go irritate your kids a little bit and start looking at some of the things that they're looking at. And not to do it to be mean. You do it to be loving and show them there's a better way, that they don't have to have that in their life. They believe it's a perfectly acceptable thing. And that's why they go to schools and they see all these other things and they go, oh, it's all mainstream. Because that's what I've been seeing and watching. And there's this, and there's this, and there's that. And it's all these weird, weird, weird things. Pray for Brenda and I. We're going to be leaving in about 40 minutes to Florida. And so we're going to drive. Yeah, thank you. And we're going to a place that we get to go to about every 3 or 4 years. It's a pastor's rest kind of place. They give us all we have to pay is for cleaning fees for this place that we go to. So it's really neat. And it's a place that they let pastors come to right down in Florida. So we're going to go down there for a little bit, and then we'll be back. Pray for us. Thank you for everything that you did yesterday. Thank you for the way that you continued to be faithful. And I know I just called you all screwed up, but I want you to know that I love you. I love you just like God loves you. I love you with His love, too. I love you so much. And I love you enough that I don't want us to stay the same way that we are. That's how much I love you. Here's Abby, and I'll see you.
Good morning, Impact Christian Church. My name is Abby Lucas, and I just have a few announcements about what is going on here at ICC. Tonight, there is youth group from 5:30 to 7:30, and tonight is outdoor night, so please make sure you bring comfy shoes to wear, and you do not need to stack the chairs after church. The Hub is going to be from 5 to 6:30 this Tuesday. Miriam's painting group is going to start this Friday night. September 15th is National Back to Church Day, so we encourage you to bring a friend or two to come to church. Thank you to everybody who pitched in and helped yesterday to make the family fun night last night really successful. Here's a video of Tiffany talking about the End of Summer Splash.
End of Summer Splash is going to be September the 15th, right after service. Don't forget to bring your swimsuit, and also we're going to have pizza and cookies and free popsicles for the kids afterwards.
Well, ICC, that is all the news I have for you. We hope you have a blessed and awesome week, and we'll see you next week. Bye.